When writer Luis Alberto Urrea's best-selling book, The Devil's Highway, was published in 2005, it provided a searing glimpse into the reality of U.S. border policy by telling the true story of what happened to a group of Mexican men trying to cross into Arizona. A decade later, in a new collection of poems, Urrea writes of the border world around the city of Tijuana with the same lyrical energy of a 21st-century Walt Whitman. The Tijuana Book of the Dead is a violent, passionate testimony to Urrea's roots and the realities of a war zone most Americans know almost nothing about.
It's my first book of poetry in well over 10 years, and I had worked on this manuscript on and off and on and off, and then, you know, it was really the catalyst was watching all the book bannings in Arizona and watching these children, brown children, have their books taken away. And it wasn't just Latino writers. They took indigenous writers away. They took Sherman Alexie away from them. They took Sandra Cisneros away from them. And then in the ultimate weirdness, Arizona pulled Shakespeare out of brown hands because they felt that the Tempest was going to inspire, I think, anti-American, anti-colonialist feelings. I don't know what they were thinking. And I saw children going to jail for protesting to keep their poetry. And I thought, is this America, really? I guess I can say I'm blessed to speak to lots and lots and lots of kids because I've seen how hurt they are, how heartbroken they are, and how sort of head-hangingly embarrassed they are by the relentless media campaign and, you know, the happy radio talkers, not you, but you know who I mean, who assault them constantly. And I just came out of a place. If it's possible to feel rage in love, that's what finally happened. And it overtook all the other poetry I was trying to put together.
Well, you, as a poet, you find beauty in things that you wouldn't think are beautiful. I mean, here's a pure bit of art, it seems to me, even though there's some anger in here as well. Insomnia machine, and I can smell the back alley where that generator is going or whatever kind of machine you were thinking. What is that engine coiled in cables and red hoses that lurches at the darkest hour as it pumps, pumps, churns, desires and nightmares out the main line, sends hot want into the alley, down the hall, in the window as it rusts itself, keeps us awake all night, all night, all night, like a motel neon sign in the rain, pounds to death that working machine that makes us weep, that imagines God, that drives the pistons that slug in hollow graveyard shifts, that dynamo that suddenly snaps and wrenches itself apart as we shout, human beings once called it a heart.
Jeez. I loved hearing that. You know, there are some themes in this book. It's kind of part of my obsession, I think, to write for and to the forgotten. I always have, which sometimes seems like, you know, commercial suicide. I had this complete obsession with writing a literature of witness, and it's still there. And I always believed if you represented people nobody cares about, that that was an important thing to do, and everybody would care. And for a very long time, of course, nobody cared. But then people start to care, and it's really moving to me. So that poem specifically, it also is related to the poem Lines for Neruda, which begins, "We were the men who worked the machines." So I very much in the process of all this had in mind my father, who came across the border from Mexico. He went from deep Mexico to Tijuana, which is a shocking transition anyway, and then from Tijuana to the United States, and could not find his footing. And he, you know, went from a pretty accomplished life in Mexico to being a janitor and a bowling alley attendant for my entire life. So I would spend many hours with him in the backs of bowling alleys watching his, you know, blue-collar to no-collar kind of work and learning all those physical skills which would be of no use to me in my life. How do you repair a bowling pin? You know, he'd mount it on a lathe and he would, you know, hit it with all this weird-smelling kind of pipe dope to fill up the holes and put fiberglass on it and shellac. But it was this beautiful work of art that my father did invisibly in the back of this dark, clanging, noisy, malodorous place full of old nudist magazines and these broken doors that were chained together with chains and padlocks where junkies and prostitutes would push it and look in at him. I thought, wow, you know, that's really intense, and it's lost, and it's forgotten, and it's abandoned partially in shame.
Well, let me push you here then. I mean, you write for the forgotten. You write as a literature of witness, and that is certainly great, and you read it and feel it in these words. But, you know, Senator Ted Cruz of Texas tells the same kind of story about his dad coming from mm-hmm. Cuba. And, you know, it's got some of the same details that you just mentioned right there. Isn't it important for Ted Cruz and people like him to see themselves in your poetry, for this literature to have the power it needs to have if you want to change things?
Yeah, absolutely. I do think so. I think that, you know, some of the divisiveness that's present in our country is healthy, and a lot of it is unhealthy. And I think that, you know, Rudolfo Anaya, our great Chicano novelist, told me something when I was just a kid, and I've taken it to heart. And he said, you know, if you can make your grandmother in Tijuana the grandmother of a reader as far away as Iowa, then you have committed the most powerful political and religious act that one can commit. And so, you know, you want to hold up a mirror. Sometimes it's, you know, maybe a slideshow of somebody else's life, but there has to be something there that makes us pause and say, by God, we're the same. We are people. It's us. It's not a literature or a world of all these them people who are coming in to steal from me. It's a place where we are trying to make the best of it. So, yeah, you know, I don't know if he would like my work or not. Perhaps he would see me as there's no pan-Hispanic movement. And so although the marketing wants to think that, the Chicanos and Dominicans and Puerto Ricans and Cubans and, you know, Latin Americans, essentially, we're all the same. It's not. There are different views, different accents, different flourishes. But I think the basic humanity, the goodness of a working person doing what he or she has to do to keep the family going is universal. And it's always important to me to try to create the best art I can in honor of people that I love.
Luis Alberto Urrea is author most recently of the Tijuana Book of the Dead. His book of short stories, The Water Museum, comes out next month. Luis, thanks so much.
Thank you. It was great talking to you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.